Well, thank you, One Voice. That was very, very stirring. Appreciate that. Just want to remind you again, I have a bunch of keys here, two bunches of keys. If you have lost your keys, plus a nail clipper, let me know. It's a green nail clipper. Okay? All right. This morning, we're going to take a little bit of time to look at chapter 27. And there is a stark contrast between Isaiah 5 and Isaiah 27. And I think that the contrast can be quite startling, and we ought to look at it very carefully. This is the last of the series of these messages here, the last message of this series. And I thought it would be good to look at the songs of Isaiah. Isaiah wrote two songs in this book. The first one is known as a song of my well-beloved in chapter 5. Okay, and that was a sad song. It was a song that talked about how Israel was a vine that bore no fruit, and the Lord was going to let it, you know, just go off. Isaiah 27, however, was on a slightly more upbeat note, and I thought it would be good if we can end this series, a seed of highest quality, on an upbeat note. It is called the Song of Red Wine. Now, there is nothing wrong with wine itself. However, please don't use this song and then get drunk. And yeah, here's a song of red wine. Isaiah composed it. That's my excuse for drinking. No, it's not. You know, nothing wrong with it, with food. But just be careful. Don't apply it wrongly. There is no biblical warranty for any drunkenness at any time. But let's take a look at these things here and see how we can really, really be greatly encouraged. Okay, in verse 2, in that day, sing to her a vineyard of red wine. Now that is the title of the song, A Vineyard of Red Wine. What a song of joy and success this is. Now let's take a look at the reasons why we can be encouraged along the way. Okay, first, one of the stanzas there talks about the keeping of the vine. And I love this word. Verse 3, take a look at it. Such a precious. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Isn't it wonderful? It's just really, really precious to know that the Lord will keep. And He will keep night and day. He's watching night and day. And I think this is something that we don't take for granted in any way, at any time. It's something that we want to treasure. And I think the prayer for protection is something we don't take for granted at all. I understand how Bing Hui feels when he says that, his children would have gone to Nepal. And had they gone, he may not see them again. That was something, that same chill I felt very, very much when I asked Della whether she was supposed to have gone because she's one of the school leaders. And she said yes, but she did not go. She turned it down, and so she didn't go. You cannot imagine the chill that came down my spine to, wow. You know, each day, one of the things we do is to pray for our children, night and day. We ask the Lord to keep them night and day. You never cease to make that prayer. We often take for granted that things are going to be, it's okay. Things are going to work out fine. It's not as you imagine. So for every day's protection, for every time that we have life, we just want to thank God. This is what He said. Can we pray this prayer? Yes. night and day we watch. You know, I have people who travel, and then they would always tell me, I'm traveling this week here, or I'm traveling that week there. And then the prayer was, well, would you pray for me? But I think that's something that we really want to understand and appreciate, you know, with all the things going around. We just don't want to take for granted. But this is the Lord's promise. Stanza one, the Lord will keep. Isn't it wonderful to know that this is the Lord's promise? But not only will the Lord keep, in verse 4 we read, fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I will go through them. I will burn them together. Isn't it wonderful to know this? This is the Lord's special protection. It's wonderful to know that the Lord will pray. Will there be briars and thorns and they can hurt? This is always my prayer. Lord, let the people, let the enemies, as it will, whatever it is that could possibly harm, Lord, you protect. And this is so important. And you never cease to thank God that he protects us the way he does. And so he does protect. He said, would there be briars? Are there thorns? He will go through them. Literally what he means that he will destroy them against me. I will go through them. I would burn them together. This is the Lord's protection. Isn't it wonderful to have such a promise of protection? And we often take this for granted. And then there's the Lord's promise. And this is a wonderful promise. Let him take hold of my strength. And that song says, you know, ere the day is half done, our strength is gone. But this is the Lord's promise. We can find that renewed strength. Again and again, we will find that strength. Isn't it a wonderful promise that we can draw upon? And this is something that we want to appreciate very, very, very much. This is the promise of the Lord. Now, we take another stanza in verse 6. And the stanza says, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and will fill the face of the earth with fruit. Now, that is a promise that is absolutely true today. In 1948, when Israel became a nation where they are, there were several places that offered Israel a place, including Africa. Africa said, you can pick any state in your land, we will give this to you, be Israel here. And they said, no, we must go back to our homeland. So when they went back in 1948, they went to their homeland. Do you know that Israel didn't even have a language? They had lost that language. And it was an old couple who was determined to give back to the country the language. They don't have a modern language. It's the old Bible language. They don't have a modern language. So what was the word for penalty? Let's say you play basketball and you foul somebody. What's the word for foul? Sin. So they had to come up with new words. They had to build new vocabulary. So they built it up. Can you imagine? Of course, a foul is really a sin. It is, call it like it is. You know, some fouls are really bad sins. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. And so they built up this couple actually gave back the land. When they had the land that was there, there was nothing there. The infrastructure was not there. There were swamps there. You couldn't find anything that's there. And the people determined that they would do this. And the people who were there, you know what they did? It's an interesting story. They went back to the scriptures to see how Abraham journeyed. And they said, there's water here. There must be water here. Because they found water here. There's a well here. But the place has no water. You know what? They went to this place and they dug. Lo and behold, there was water there. They build the cities that they found discovered in the scriptures. They believe that there must be land for the sheep, agrarian. They must be able to grow. This was the land of promise of milk and honey. They believed that the barren land, that land had grown fallow for all these years, would one day blossom again. This was the Lord's promise. What did the Lord promise? That those who cause, who will take root in Jacob. There were many people who gave up their roots elsewhere. They were going to take root in Jacob. They gave up wherever they were. There was one person who was a professor. And this person has a permanent room in Waldorf Astoria. I don't know whether you know, have you heard of Waldorf Astoria? Waldorf Astoria in New York is where President Obama will stay if he goes to New York. That's his hotel. If he wants to go and stay there, that's for people who really, really can afford to stay there. Okay, so this is really amazing. This guy gave up and he slept on the floor and he said, this is the best sleep I've had for years. This is where I'm going to place my roots. The engineers came back, the doctors came back, the scientists came back. They brought back their skills and they said, we are going to take roots here. What was the Lord's promise? They shall blossom. Israel started as a third world country, literally. Israel today is one of the top 10 nations in the entire world. What was God's promise? That he will keep. What was God's promise? That he will protect. Now we've read about the wars in the early days, 67, 73. You know the wars that took place there. What did the Lord say? I will protect it. Are they briars? Are they thorns? I will go through them and I will destroy them. Israel continues to survive, not because it's a great nation, because of the Lord's promise that he will keep. They will blossom and they will bud and they will fill the face of the world with fruit. This verse was actually fulfilled. So we just imagine 1948, 58, 68, 78, we're looking at couple of 60 years and so and more, and we are looking at a situation where this has occurred as the Lord has promised, and I think that is something that should thrill our hearts. What about the problems of our sins? What about the problems when we have difficulties in our life and sins? What will God do with our problems? What a wonderful stanza it is to read in verse 9. Therefore, by this, the iniquity of Jacob will be covered. Yes, there are weaknesses and yes, there are sins. You know what the Lord promised was? I will see them covered. Isn't that a beautiful word? Covered. And this is the fruit of taking away his sin. Isn't it wonderful? So all the sin that is there, the Lord has covered it and he has promised fruit. To me, this is a beautiful song to write. It is such a promise of hope and joy and strength and more. Can this be done? Will this be something that we can believe in? And the answer is yes. Maybe like Israel, we've had not a very good past. Maybe there are sins that are there that need to be dealt with. Maybe we've got a lot of problems. Can we make a start all over again? Yes. This is our promise from the Lord. And he will keep. And he says that he will protect. And he will do everything that he can to make it literally take root, bud, blossom, bear fruit, because he has taken away the sin. And this is the result of it. To me, that is our challenge this morning. How wonderful it is to believe what God has promised. This is his promise. This is a beautiful song, a song of the vineyard of red wine. This morning, our challenge is surely to seek the Lord's blessings. I seek the Lord's blessings for everything. This is His promise. Nobody else will promise this to us. Nobody else can promise this to us. Nobody else can promise like this and then fulfill it. We see this in a nation. There was a time when Israel was nothing. And there is a time for Israel as an example to us all of what God can do when the people will plant their roots there and make it grow stronger. Do we believe in this thing here? The answer is we must. But our part is to believe. But our part is to seek the Lord's blessings. Now, it's wonderful to be able to pray with an open Bible and to say to the Lord, Lord, you promised to keep it. Please keep. Lord, you promised that you will protect. Please protect. Night and day. Lord, you promised that you will give that strength. You will bring it to fruition. You will make it fruitful. That's our challenge. To believe that this is possible. And to hold on to that belief. What will He do? He will take the stones away. What will He do? He will plant. What will He do? Prune. He will keep so that He will bring forth much fruit. Isn't it wonderful to see this? This is something that the Lord can do for us. This is something that we must ask ourselves. Can we believe? My answer to all of us is yes. We've heard about a seed of highest quality for 2 months now. And we end on this note. And the notes of triumph, the notes of hope, a note of joy, a note of faith, a note of tremendous promise of fruit in our life. This morning, I invite you to believe this with me. For our own families, for our children, for our church, for our country. But it will take us to believe in the Lord. Well, let's pray together. This morning as we pray together, and I'm going to ask you to truly believe. Maybe there are things that need to be done in our lives, in our family, in our children. Well, let's get down to doing it. But let's pray with hope. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with courage. Let's pray with strength. What a wonderful promise of the Lord. Stanza after stanza of keeping, of protection, of blessing, of fruit bearing. Only God can make such promises and fulfill them. May we believe with all our hearts that He does hear and answer our prayers. Our Father, we thank You for these precious, precious promises. And they are wonderful. And we just want to rejoice that we have heard words of a great encouragement that a seed that You plant can be of the highest quality. And this is a wonderful word of promise given to us that You will keep, that You will protect, and You will bless with peace and strength and fruit and more. Help us to be lifted up in our hearts with a heart full of joy and thanksgiving for the God that You are to us. We thank You that our sins can be covered. We thank You that You can take away the things that are there and then give to us new fruit. Help us to rejoice in this great, wonderful truth. We pray that You will receive this offering as our thanksgiving to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a love gift for the Lord's work. Let's ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great God, who in His grace and mercy and love has planted within us a divine seed. We ask that this great God will keep this seed, will cause it to take root, to bud, to blossom, to bear fruit in due time. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to know that He will indeed keep, protect it from every evil. And may the Spirit of God enable us to truly flourish, to thrive, and to be fruitful to the glory of our precious Savior and Lord, now and forever. Amen.